Okay, now we can start the Dhamma sermon. Actually, we were discussing Alavaka Sutta, which is available in Suttanipata. Actually, we have selected several suttas from Suttanipata, like Uraga Sutta, Kaggavisana Sutta, likewise. So these are very interesting and believe that these are very early suttas given by the Buddha. And in Alavaka Sutta, this is very common and quite a popular one, where Buddha visited the Yakka Alavaka. So his place Buddha visited, and then kind of a discussion went on, and Alavaka challenged the Buddha, and ultimately, very much in the beginning, very much like Buddha agreed to his orders and then went back and forth. And ultimately, Buddha became firm and he said, "No, I'm not going to go out and do whatever you like." Then he again threatened, and by the way, he started asking various questions. And these questions actually he heard from his generations, coming from his tradition. And now he's asking the questions, and we'll already covered few questions. But if I recall these ones, Kinsu devittang purisasa settang, Kinsu suchinnang sukamava hati. Kinsu have sadhu tarang rasanam, kathang jeeving jeevita mahu settam. Kinsu the vittang purisatsa settam, for a person, what is the best treasure? And kinsu suchinnam sukamava hati. And having practiced what? By practicing what, actually one would get happiness. Kinsu have sadhu tarang rasanam. So among various states, what would be the best one, sweetest one? Katang jeeving jeevita mahu settam. And what kind of life is the best? And here Buddha answers, saddhita vittang purisasa settam. So saddha, the faith, is one's treasure. And dhammo suchinno sukamava hati. The one who is practicing dhamma, he brings happiness, so he lives happily. Satchang have sadhu tarang rasana. Among various sweets or delicious tastes, the taste of dhamma, or here actually the truth, is the best. Panya jeeving jeevita mahu settam. Living by wisdom is the best. So here actually certain spiritual part, actually Buddha now showing to Alavaka. So one thing is faith. So one, first of all, one has to have kind of a confidence. One has to have a trust, faith. And as a result of that, one may approach, may ask various questions, start observing, or start trying the teaching. So likewise, many things are followed by the faith. So having good faith is therefore essential. And in certain suttas, in Nagarupama Sutta, Buddha mentioned this like a kind of a tomb or kind of a pillar is strongly situated, and there is no wavering, and it's a kind of a protection given to a well-protected fortress. That middle center point is marked by a huge strong pillar, and which may be used to control the whatever the other mechanisms, and this has to be very firm, very strong, very steady. So this steady, firm faith is therefore Buddha mentioned as a kind of a treasure, and again kind of a protection that one has. Dhammo suchinno sukamava hati. And if one is practicing dhamma, so that will bring happiness. So here dhamma we can say as a kind of an abbreviation for many, many things, or kind of a briefing for many things. We are Sila Samadhi Panya in brief. So you need to have morality, you need to practice some amount of concentration, and have to develop wisdom. So the whole path we can represent as Dhamma. Satchang have sadhu tarang rasanam. So here actually the truth gives the sweetest taste. It could be we can consider it as a noble four noble truths. So if one practicing four noble truths, so the taste of freedom can be tasted. And then And if one is living life with wisdom, so then one can overcome various obstacles and live harmoniously with others and get correct decisions. And all these things are happening because one is now living with wisdom. And therefore, Buddha mentioned among the best or among the ways of living the life, the living life with wisdom is the best. Katansu tarati yogam, katansu tarati annavam. Katansu dukkhang accheti, katansu parisujjati. Now further questions asked by Alavaka. How does one cross the flood? So here the flood is actually representing the floods of defilements. So our minds are constantly subjected to various defilements. And when we are flooded with such defilements, so we become very much like overwhelmed. We become victimized to those defilements. Then we are acting according to them and we are simply helpless. Katansu tarati annama. How does one cross the sea? So here sea also represents, we can say, the sansara sagara, or we can say the whole sansara represented as a sea. Katansu dukkhang accheti. So how one can overcome suffering? Katansu parisujjati. How one is going to be purified? Saddha tarati yoga. Again Buddha highlights faith. By faith one processes the flood. Appamadena annava. Now here appamada, we can say diligence or even mindfulness, and being diligent in practicing, being diligent in developing the necessary spiritual qualities. So diligence is something again kind of an umbrella term representing many spiritual qualities. And one has to be diligent in developing these qualities rather than being negligent, neglectful or postponing. So one has to be quite attentive to these things and has to be diligent in developing these necessary spiritual qualities. Viriyena dukkhang accheti. So one has to have energy to overcome suffering, because the path is also not easy. So you need to practice, you need to endure certain pains, or you need to endure a certain amount of boredom, and sometimes results may not happen as we wish, and we are expecting certain progress, but progress is very, very slow. So on such occasions, that one has to be quite maintaining a fair amount of endurance. And here, that energy. So this energy, effort, have to be consistent, have to be available every time, because otherwise it is very difficult to continue the path. So whenever some problem happens, or if we neglect the practice, or if we stop practicing, then basically we may again have to start from the beginning. So therefore development requires certain amount of energy for your continuation. So energy, therefore, Buddha mentioned, is the way to overcome suffering. Panyaya parisujjati. By wisdom, one is fully purified. So actually, this is another interesting point. Even though mindfulness, wisdom, and all these other qualities are available, by seeing through wisdom, one is able to correct oneself. Or by seeing through wisdom, various defilements or mental patterns, fetters, etc. So by seeing, you are slowly overcoming them or slowly abandoning them. First of all, we need to understand how mind get impure, how mind get corrupted. So what are the corruptions? What are the impurities? What are the defilements operating in the mind? So those things have to be well noticed. If those are well noticed, actually, then one can see how to minimize them and ultimately to uproot them. So minimizing them, uprooting them is therefore the method. But mindfulness will show all these defilements, but wisdom will decide how to overcome them. What is the proper action to be taken? Is there any counteracting quality has to be developed, or we can simply maintain an equanimous attitude towards this particular thought so that it may eventually fade away. Likewise, various methods may be available, and the wisdom will decide what would be the best approach. So therefore, wisdom is necessary to for the purification. So therefore, Buddha mentioned in certain other suttas, mindfulness will simply prepare a kind of a dam for the flood, and wisdom is the one ultimately evaporates the collected water. So likewise, when mindfulness is applied, so we can say we stop continuation of various defilements, but to completely uproot the defilements, we need wisdom. And now we can get on to further. Katansu labate panyam, katansu vindate dhanam, katansu kittim pappoti, katang mittani gantati, asma loka parang lokam, katang pecha na sochati. Now Alavaka asks another question, actually series of questions. How does one gain wisdom? Katansu labate panyam, katansu vindate dhanam, how does one find wealth? Katansu kittim pappoti, how does one achieve maybe a kind of a reputation? Katam mittani gantati, how one can maintain, how one can retain friends without losing them? Asma loka parang lokam, katam pecha na sochati, when passing away from this world to the next, how one does not sorrow? Now Buddha answers, saddhanu arahatam, dhammang nibbana pattiya, sussusa labate panyang appamatto vichakkhano. Now actually Buddha answers through many verses. Now if we answer the first question, how does one gain wisdom? So there the answer is sussusa labate panyang. So one may develop wisdom by, here Buddha mentioned, learning. Now on that time, basically Buddha refers here the sutameya panya, what we need as the kind of learnedness. So knowing Buddha's teaching through learning. So sutsusa labate panya appamatto vichakkano, but it has to be done diligently, and one has to further add the penetrative knowledge. And saddhano arahatam dhammang nibbana pattiya. So now one has to place faith on those arahants and their dhamma. So the Buddha and the, say we can say the Arya Sangha, the arahants. So on them one is now maintaining fair amount of faith. And on not only with them about their teaching, also one has a great faith. And one himself is practicing according to that. So as a result of that, now slowly one also start feeling or start sensing, start experiencing the value or the peace of the teaching of the Buddha. And now Buddha further explains, patirupakari dhurava utthata vindate dhana sacchena kittim pappoti dadang mittani gantati. Now Buddha is answering to the previous questions. Patirupakari durava. Now patirupakari, that means one should know what would be the best action to do. So if one is quite careful of what one is doing, so he is only doing the proper thing, what is proper to you, not neglectful, not negligently doing many things, but rather you are carefully scrutinizing what is the most appropriate thing to do. You consider properly, and then you implement what is most appropriate. So that kind of consideration is what Buddha has mentioned here. You can say, katansu vindate dhanam, katansu kittim pappoti. So vindate dhanam, uttata vindate dhanam. Now Buddha mentioned, the one with initiative finds wealth. So one has to have some effort to find wealth. You can't simply wait and see how till the wealth come to you. But you have to have a lot of effort. You have to initiate something. You have to start a business or whatever it is. And if you are working hard, if you make kind of an initiative, now you can earn some money. Now you can acquire some wealth. So that initiation is necessary. So we can't wait someone come and give us money, or we can't wait someone come and help us, or someone come and give us a job. Rather, we ourselves have to find out a job. We have to find out the opportunities available. So one has to have that initiation. Uttata vindate dana. So Buddha highlights that. So one has to initiate, and then one may be able to maybe starting a business or entrepreneur, whatever it is, and then one start earning some money. Satchena kitim pappoti. Now one becomes more truthful by truthfulness. So people start understanding you are a truthful person. You are a trustworthy person. And as a result of that, they start gathering with you. They start even talking with you. They start even revealing their secrets. So they become open with you. And satchena kittim pappoti. Now, as a result of that, you become kind of popular, because they know you are keeping their truths. You are not getting to any kind of falsehood or any kind of misbehavior through your words. And you are quite truthful. Dadang mittani gantati. Now, in order to sort of having many friends, so one has to share or one has to give. If you have a fair amount of wealth, so if you are simply keeping them to yourself, you may not have many friends. But on the other hand, if you have some wealth and if you are sharing with others, so of course, then there are many others also be with you, because they also need some help, and you are quite generous and you are helping. And as a result of that, then many people start being with you. So, dadang mittani gantati. So this, the offering, donations, sharing, actually helps to maintain such kind of a relationship with others, and therefore many friends would be attracted to you. Yasete chaturo dhamma saddhasya gharamesino satchang dhammo diti chago save pechcha na sochati. Yasete chaturo dhamma. Now Buddha has mentioned four kinds of qualities. Saddhasa gharamesino, the one who is faithful, but he is a lay person like Alavaka, has to have these four qualities. So now this particular verse with the highlights is for a lay person. It is not for monks. Now Alavaka's questions are for lay people in that sense. It is not merely for monks. It's a kind of a general answer given, and his question is in that sense more oriented towards lay people, and Buddha is answering more oriented towards lay people. Saddhasa gharamesino, but this lay person is special because he has some faith on the Buddha. So this faithful lay person, satchang dhammo diti chago. Now Buddha highlights four qualities has to have. Satchang, so he has to be truthful. Dhammo, here actually maybe we can consider as dhamma knowledge, but the next verse mention it as self-control. So that is maybe a little mistake coming from the in the book in the sense. So this next verse coming as dhamma, here comes as dhammo. So these are two words, and some translators actually have taken the self-control, that means dhamma. And if you take dhammo, so it also can be given some emphasis, maybe the knowledge of the Buddha's teaching. So if one is having, that is also useful. And that also can be considered as one point, one quality. But on the other hand, in the next verse, Buddha reiterates these four qualities, and there it is mentioned as dhamma. So dhamma means you are kind of, in Sinhala we are calling as dhammanekan. You are doing kind of self-control. You are not impulsively acting, and you have a fair amount of self-control. So that is a good quality that Buddha highlights. So the first quality is Sacchang, that means one is truthful. The next quality is you have a fair amount of self-control. You are not driven by various impulsive thoughts or various other kind of defilements, but you are quite restrained. You are capable of maintaining such kind of a self-control. And whenever you see something, you are not immediately agitated by that, or you are, even if you are agitated, you are not getting into any kind of arguments, quarrels, because you have a fair amount of self-control. Without self-control, if you lose your control, then easily you get into arguments. Easily you get into troubles. Easily you get into quarrels with others. But even when things go wrong, if you have a fair amount of self-control, you can be patient. You can be patient till the proper time arrives for you to explain to the other party, to have a kind of a chat with the other person. And if you are not having any kind of self-control, immediately you jump to the situation, immediately you impulsively react, and you spoil the whole situation. Maybe your relationship is broken and you are losing your friends. Maybe you are losing your job, whatever it is. Because if you don't have much self-control, self-restraint, so that is something kind of disadvantageous to us. So having self-control is something highlighted through the mindfulness practice, because mindfulness helps us to have a kind of a supervision. So we ourselves have kind of a supervision. We ourselves have a kind of a monitoring process to look after ourselves. So when we have to do kind of a bodily activity, so the mindfulness will sort of restrain us, telling whether it is a good activity or a bad activity. If we have to tell something, the mindfulness will tell us, okay, whether it is something good to tell or something better avoid telling it. And whenever we are thinking about something, mindfulness will tell us, okay, this is something too good, something good to think, or something better avoid. So likewise, mindfulness becomes kind of a protective mechanism. That's why even for arahant, or rather even for nobles, Buddha mentioned sata rakkhena cetasa viharami viharanti. That means, so these arahants, these say nobles, are being protected by mindfulness, nothing else. So mindfulness become kind of guardian, where the mindfulness will sort of indicate what is the good, what is the bad. And Buddha now give a kind of an invitation to Alavaka. Inga anyepi puchasu putu samana brahmani yadi sacca dama chaga kantya bhiyodha vijjati. Now he is giving a little challenge to Alavaka. Come now, ask the others as well. Others in the sense, other Brahmins, other whoever the teachers, you go and ask from them. The many ascetics and Brahmins, whether there exists here anything better than these four qualities. So that means Buddha already mentioned four qualities. Now he reiterates those four qualities. And here it is mentioned as Sacca, Dhamma, Chaga, Kantya. So those are the four qualities. Sacca, that means the truthfulness. Dhamma, that means self-control or self-restraint. Sense restraint even. So kind of a restrainment one has. And chaga, generosity. And kantya, that means the patience. So therefore a fair value or prominence is given to these four qualities. So one has to have truthfulness, one has to have self-control, one has to have generosity, and one has to have patience. So these are the four qualities Buddha highlights for a layperson. Now, in other sense, we can see, now, Alavaka coming here become quite angry. So, he's coming in order to fight with the Buddha or to chase the Buddha, because he is quite angry about Buddha's arrival. Now, the answer that Buddha is giving may be little aimed towards Alavaka, and depending on the context, since Alavaka is angry, he is impatient and kind of a rude person. So probably now Buddha's teaching here may be much aimed towards Alavaka. But anyway, even today, many people are like Alavaka because they are quite angry, they are always impatient, they are always finding fault with others, they don't have any patience. Now the whole world is in a battle, very much like, all are like Alavakas. Now, therefore, this teaching is quite useful even today, that how one can have some self-control, how one can have the truthfulness and little generosity, and again fair amount of patience when things go wrong, how to become patient. So if we become impatient, if we impulsively start reacting, then everything will be spoiled. So when we are continuing our life situations, so all these four qualities, therefore we can remember how Buddha has little in a way concisely mentioned these four qualities for us to maintain truthfulness, self-control, generosity, and patience. And now, after Buddha mentioned that challenge to Alavaka, by that time Alavaka is quite restrained and his mind has become quite soft, anger has gone. Now he has developed a fair amount of faith with the Buddha. Now he is talking, Katham nu dani puccheyam putu samana brahmane. So aham ajja pajanami yo atto samparayiko. Why now should I ask the many ascetics and Brahmins? Today I have understood the good pertaining to future lives. Now he is confident, he is faithful about Buddha's teaching. And he says, now I don't need to ask from anyone else. I have learned, I have asked from the proper person. I am now confident of what you have mentioned. Atthaya vatame buddho vasaya alavi magama soahang ajja pajanami yatta dinnang mahapalam. Now he now understood, okay, Buddha came here to help him. It is not to attack him or to belittle him, but to help him, to show him the path, to show him the correct direction Buddha has arrived. Now that Alavaka understood. So he is now appreciating that, praising the Buddha. And he mentioned, indeed it was for my sake that the Buddha came to stay at Alavi. Today I have understood where what is given bears great fruit. That means what is offered to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So that is where the great fruit is possible. Now he understood that. So aham vicharissami gama gama pura pura namassamano sambuddham dhammasacha sudhamma tanti. Now he is further explaining. Now he is quite confident, he is trustworthy, and he is quite a faithful follower of the Buddha. Now he is telling, okay, I am now spreading the words of the Buddha from village to village, from city to city, and paying homage to the Buddha, enlightened one, and to the excellence of the Dhamma. Now he is praising the Buddha and the Dhamma, and he is now going to even spread the Dhamma, the words of the Buddha. So that ends the Alavaka Sutta, and in a way a very beautiful sutta, where Buddha highlights certain good qualities one has to develop, one has to protect. And Alavaka himself has become tamed and restrained, and he becomes a follower of the Buddha. So with that, I conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I'd like to open the session for questions.
Sarai Swami Nahansa.
Yeah.
We have four questions today. Right. This is the first session for 2023 after we had the break. So I think still people are on vacation and things like that. We have four questions. First one is question number one of four, mindful walking. Dear Bhante, much merits for this program and wish you and all the participants Happy New Year and all the best for 2023. This is my update on the walking practice. My walking path is a tiled floor, about 20 steps, and I start walking on the sensations of the soles. I can observe left and right sole sensations, such as the pressure along the sole, hot and cold patches, and the small movements of the toes and touching sensations. I feel the differences of the left and right foot as well. After a few rounds, my mind starts to wander out with various thoughts. As per your guidance, when I realize the touching sensations are not there anymore, I try to find them and the mind comes back from the thoughts. Since I heard this from you many times, I don't regret about these distractions and try to equally accept both the walking sensations and the distraction episodes. After 15 to 20 minutes of this practice, I feel without much effort, I can be with the walking process. It feels mindfulness like a sticky chewing gum stuck to my observations. I can continue like this and feel calm and relaxed after the session ends. My question is, can I reflect on two types of mindfulness here? The initial one where I have to put some effort to keep going continuously and the latter one which sticks like chewing gum. Appreciate Bhante's explanations with metta. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, very interesting. So actually, as you mentioned, the previously initial stages, our mindfulness is kind of a striving because mind is not used to be in the present moment. It constantly jumps from one object to the other object. So the mind is kind of chaotic. But later, as a result of our striving, as a result of our effort, purposeful mindfulness or deliberate establishment of mindfulness, so we are able to fairly establish mindfulness on an ongoing process. So here, kind of effortful mindfulness is there. Deliberate type of mindfulness is there. Now, once it is available and we are continuously practicing, now, as you said, it starts sticking to the, say, mind. And now you can be mindful at many, many times. Not only at walking, not only at sitting, but at many other daily activities also you can be mindful. Now it's very much like, as you said, it has stick to you. Like a chewing gum, yes. But later, actually, another evolution happens. So it becomes kind of a inherent quality of the mind. It is actually inherent quality of the mind. Now we are sort of allowing it to get the proper seat, like. And later it becomes kind of an effortless mindfulness. It is a kind of an inherent or inbuilt quality of the mind. And you don't need to do anything to retain it. And again, it is not effortful. You don't need to deliberately establish mindfulness, but you are naturally mindful. So it has become an inherent quality of yours. So at that point, we can say we are reaching another level, another stage where mind is effortlessly being aware. And that mindfulness is also, we can say, not kind of a gross type of mindfulness, but very soft, very gentle, kind of being at ease kind of mindfulness. Yeah.
Question number 2 of 4 is a general question. Dear Bhante, this is a general question and I apologize for my little understanding. We have heard different stories about the Visuddhi Magga book that is not in the original version of Buddhism. To what extent is this used as a reference in the monastery? Have you seen any discrepancies? With metta, that's the end of the question.
You are trying to put me in trouble. So actually in our monastery, we are using Satipatthana, as you know, the main guide, and the Sutta Pitaka as our main guide. Yeah.
Question number 3 of 4. This is a Dhamma Sermon question. Dear Bhante, question on today's Dhamma Sermon, Alavaka Sutta. I was thinking the flood mentioned in the verse might be the fetters and tendencies which are much harder to stop than the defilements. Bhante indicated the flood waters as defilements and want to check if this means defilements, fetters, tendencies and everything. My understanding is that defilements can be contained by some samadhi and the fetters and deeper unknown ones are the flood, like unstoppable force. Much merits for your clarification. Bit metta, that's the end of the question.
A very good point. But the thing is, now there are chaturoga, the four types of floods mentioned in the suttas, and sometimes they are the four asavas: kamasava, bhavasava, dittasava, avijjasava. So those four asavas are considered as four floods, oga. And the point is, they are there, but how they manifest. So asavas are very much, sometimes we can call as kind of inbuilt, inherent, or even kind of in a latent state. And they may manifest as defilements, as a desire, a sensual desire, kind of an anger, kind of a rough view, kind of a strong, wrong view. So these are the different ways, or kind of a confusion in one's mind. Now, these are the ways that we are understanding the operation or the manifestation of the asavas. So that is where our mind being flooded from the dynamic process of the asavas. Now, asavas are, fetters are very much like the static or latent level, but I mean, that is where the direct meaning given to the anusaya, latent tendencies. Latent tendencies and the fetters, asavas, sometimes asavas are mentioned as influxes. So influxes. So influxes means asava, the typical term asava means that you are being conditioned to so many ways of patterns, and ultimately they are becoming deeply rooted to the mind. The mind is operating constantly on that path, on that pattern, and whenever an opportunity arises, so that pattern being activated, it's deeply rooted. Now, in order to, now as one point that we are telling is correct, that when the defilements are coming at the surface level, so we can immediately understand that, and we can easily notice them. True, we can overcome them, but still asavas are still available. So how are we going to remove asavas? How are you going to notice asavas? So that is where the Sabbasava Sutta highlights many methods, not just one method. So one has to have a fair amount of patience. One has to have a fair amount of diligence. One has to have a fair amount of restrainment. One has to avoid unnecessary things. And one has to have intelligence, or the, say, understanding, the proper view, yoniso manasikara, and the further development of the vajjanga, the enlightenment factors. Now, many method, I mean, it's a kind of a collective process one has to approach, one has to take in order to uproot asava. So defilements are also can be considered as a kind of a flooding. And typically in Dhamma, asavas are considered as the flood of chaturoga, four kinds of floods. Yeah.
Question number 4 of 4, it's the last question. This again a Dhamma sermon question. Dear Bhante, regarding today's sermon, Dhamma knowledge is highlighted as the path to wisdom. Is this one way in many methods in achieving wisdom, or is there anything else apart from just knowing Dhamma to gain wisdom? My question is linked to finding the connection to practice and experimental knowledge with metta. That's the end of the question.
Yes, correct. Now, here actually Buddha highlighted only the Sutame Jnana, because in the traditional sense, so one is able to listen to Dhamma, and through that one is capable of understanding Buddha's teaching. But in many suttas, Buddha highlights just listening is not enough. You need to contemplate, you need to rationally think about yourself. That adds another level of understanding, what we call as Chintame Jnana, or contemplative knowledge. So you first learn, you first hear Dhamma, and now you do your own contemplations, your own analysis, and that understanding is now further grown. But another form of wisdom is also mentioned, that is called the Bhavaname Jnana. That is where kind of a meditative knowledge, experiential knowledge, So far what we have may be only up to the understanding or kind of intellectual understanding. But here it is an experimental understanding or experiential understanding. So that is what we are trying to do through Satipatthana practice, in Vipassana practice, where you start from the very basics. In order to do this experiment, you need a certain prerequisites, that is mindfulness, and then some amount of concentration. So with those, now you do a kind of an experiment, or you do your Arya Pariyasana, you do your noble experiment. And that results in kind of an experiential knowledge, kind of a penetrative knowledge, and that is what we call as various Vipassana knowledges, and that is also highlighted as Bhavaname Jnana. But in this sutta, actually, Buddha mentioned only about the Sutame Jnana.
So Bhante, we have come to the end of the written question. Just we have about 15 minutes. Is it okay if you open the questions?
Yeah.
So if anyone has any questions, they can raise hand and you can directly ask the question from Bhante.
Okay, all the questions are solved.
Yes. just before we close the program, I would just like to make a quick announcement. We are planning on a retreat with Bhante in April and the Easter period. So we are just finalizing the details at the moment, and we'll let you all know next session, hopefully. And we will also be sharing all the information through our email. So if anyone is not in that email group, please drop us an email. I will share in the chat window the email address as well after I finish the program. So
again, someone is asking, can I ask a question, please? Hiranthidi Silva, she has put it as a direct message to me, Hiranti. Yes, please go ahead.
Teruvan Saranai Bhante.
Yeah.
When I meditate, I can very well meditate with a programmed one, like if I'm listening to a pre-recorded meditation, then I tend to not get disturbed. But if I start on my own, then my mind tends to wander about a lot and get disturbed. Is there any particular reason, or is it okay to carry on like that? Please.
Yes, I think you better slowly start yourself and find out. I mean, maybe actually what I do usually in my sort of guided sitting is starting from the beginning and sort of relaxing ourselves and slowly bringing our attention to the body, and then slowly focusing, not immediately trying to focus to breath or rising and falling or whatever that subtle object, rather kind of an overall type of awareness we first establish, and then slowly focusing it, maybe a little going through body scanning first. So likewise, it's a kind of a gradual focusing, gradual development, and ultimately, okay, and you can recognize rising and falling or mindfulness of breathing as your primary object, and then you can continue. So then you are already sort of established in mindfulness. So you can, by the way, you can do yourself, definitely you need to, and then you may find out, okay, where you go wrong, or what are the mistakes that you do. Yes.
So that means I should carry on with my own, and
yes,
then progress little by little with,
yes,
the scanning and walking, walking practice.
Yeah, first always try to start with walking, and then you,
yes,
come and sit, and after sitting also you can sort of, rather than immediately trying to focus your attention on breathing, you can start little closing your eyes, then adjusting your posture, feeling comfortable and feeling at ease. And then slowly, maybe you can spend a few minutes listening to various sounds so your mind become more collected. And then you take a long breath so that you coming back to yourself, coming connected to your body. And now slowly focusing your attention to breathing, rising and falling, etc.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Therwan Sarnai.
Yeah, Therwan Sarnai. Okay, I think then we can wind up.
Yes, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, then thank you very much for participation. Therwan Sarnai.
Therwan Sarnai. So I would like to thank Bhante for his valuable time and also share merits with the organizers, both seen and unseen, who enabled this program. I would also like to pass on the merits to the participants for joining the program today, for practicing and sharing questions. Therwan Sarnai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.